listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. Prayerfully and financially are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the ministries or supporters of WCNO. That's WCNO. Good Country Homestyle Cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant. Your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available. Crossroads Restaurant, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, located on Highway 70 at Posey's Corner, available at 863-763-8333. You won't be disappointed.
Don't make it a practice to flatter God. Don't be flattering God. How do you flatter God, Pastor, to give him all this lofty praise, to say all these nice words, but your heart is definitely not connected?
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss how we are to be good stewards of God's blessings in our lives. We are going to pick up with the pastor's exhortation to do everything for the glory of God. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of Take Account of Your Blessings.
Whatever you do, do it for His honor and His glory, so people walk away impressed with God and not you. Did you hear me? When God's being glorified, and I know that I might get some emails on this one, but you get your little tattoos and things like that. I just want to tell you something. Am I walking away impressed with your tattoo, or am I walking away with God? Something to think about. Something to entertain, think about. Now, Israel, get back to our text. Go back to Hosea. So what would cause people to not to abuse His blessing? We abuse God's blessing, and we begin to, it's a downward spiral. It moves to a place where there's ingratitude, and we don't thank God. And if you're not in the business of thanking God, when you omit to thank God and give Him the glory for the hands in your life, next thing you know, you're lifting up hands of idolatry. You're lifting up hands of hypocrisy specifically. Hands of hypocrisy. Notice they were increasing their altars. They were putting an altar for this and an altar for that. They were making altars. They were erecting altars that was based off their senses. It feels right to me. It looks right to me. So it must be right. It sounds right to me. It makes sense to me. Nonsense. That does not make any godly sense. We create an idol. We give it eyes, we give it a mouth, we give it ears, but it can't even see what's going on in your life. It can't even listen and hear your heart, and it will never speak to you. And if that idol speaks to you, then you know it's demonic. It made no sense because they were so sensory oriented. And even today, in our current context, let's turn down the lights a little bit, little pastor. Let's burn some incense candles, pastor. Let's get it so we can create an aesthetic, create an environment so I can feel God. Faith didn't come by feeling. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of Because a lot of this stuff, what they are feeling and they're experiencing, look nothing like God, according to the scriptures. Yes, God, the Holy Spirit, you think when, what did the Bible say the job of the Holy Spirit was? The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit will always testify and exalt who? Jesus. Jesus not exalted when you're rolling on the floor and barking like a dog. Jesus not exalted when you're shaking with convulsions. Jesus not exalted when it's all about you. God is not. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, please, 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 church, call it for what it is. The other one, the other spirit. And it's not holy. And that's what happened. Satan wants worship. Don't you know that? Satan wants to be exalted, and he's got involved in the worship of the Israelites with all these idols, because behind every idol is a devil. And they start making all these idols here. But here's the thing. And they still wanted to call upon the name of God. Hypocrisy. Yes, those statements again, an assessment of Israel's sinful state, an abuse of God's blessing. Number three, an allegiance divided. An allegiance divided. We see that in verse 2. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. Just like a house, what did God say? A house divided can't what? Stand. Israel was divided in her loyalties. Israel was divided in her worship. Israel was in a divided position. So she will fall. Those are not the pastor's words. Those are Jesus' words. Jesus said it in Mark 3:25. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Those are the words of Jesus. And last time I checked, Jesus' words were always accurate. Church, if we are divided about what God we should serve and how we should serve him, this church will fall. Israel's idolatrous infidelity had already established her guilt. That's why you see she's found fault. She's at fault. She's guilty. So because she's guilty of idolatry, I'm going to break down those idols. She's divided. Now, in the scriptures, when you see the word divided in the word of God, on some occasions, for example, in Psalm 5, verse 9, and in Psalm 12, verse 2, we see that word divided communicated in a sense of smoothness or flattery. Yes, divide means to break in half, divide, but there are passages in the Word of God that the word divided also communicates being deceitful, unreliable in your speech. Psalms 5, 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Division is also connected with flattery. In Hebrew, smooth, smooth talking. Be careful. Israel said, I love you, God, but really I'm smooth about my worship. I'm smooth and filled with hypocrisy. I'm divided. I flatter God. You know what? Don't, please, body of Christ, please hear me. Don't make it a practice to flatter God. Don't be flattering God. How do you flatter God, Pastor? To give him all this lofty praise, to say all these nice words, but your heart is definitely not connected. Don't give God flattery and fluff. He desires sincere worship. He doesn't love, doesn't like hypocrisy at any degree. Yes, she was already Israel, already into having a heart divide, a heart that was divided, and her guilt was already exposed because of her idolatry. That moves to another point. We have an absence of leadership, an absence of leadership. Verse 3, an absence of leadership. We have no king. We have, for now they shall say, we have no king because we feared not the Lord. Since Israel aligned herself with all these pagan nations and suspended her sovereignty and turned to Assyria and other nations to provide protection for her, since they elected to subjugate themselves to other rulers, they set up their king. The foreign nation was set up its ruler, and now Israel said, oh no, we got nobody that truly represents us. You aligned yourself with alien nations, so God says, okay, you appointed other authorities over you that I didn't appoint. Guess what? They will rule you, and they will replace your king. And that's going to happen as the Assyrian government, the Assyrian nation will come down. A result of this invasion, the nation's political structure is set up, will crumble, and there'll be a new ruler, and it won't be Israeli, it won't be godly. And that was part of the judgment. That's why you see, we have no king. Then they get to a place of ownership here. They acknowledge why they don't have a king. Why did you get yourself in that political situation, Israel? Because what? Because we didn't respect God anymore. Because we didn't fear God anymore. We didn't fear the Lord. I know the husband is supposed to be the head of the wife, like Christ is head of the church. And I know, but sometimes we have single parents or a single family home. But if there are two people or a single parent, whose house is it? And when the Lord is not ruling the house, when King Jesus is not ruling your home, guess who decides to fill up that vacuum? The enemy. Don't let a foreign entity, don't let a foreign spirit come into your house. Make sure it's King Jesus. Make sure it is the Word of God that rules your house and Jesus rules and reigns. So we got an absence of leadership. We also have what I call an abusive attitude toward agreements. An abusive attitude toward agreements. That's in verse 4. They're spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant, thus judgment springing up like a hemlock in the furrows of the field. Their irreverence for God is illustrated by this act of making a commitment, making a contract, following out an agreement, and then breaking the agreement. The lack of regard for legal agreements that were set up in God's name, legal agreements and promises, the Israelites started to treat each other and take each other to court when they should have been taking each other to court and break their contracts lawfully, unlawfully. Well, we signed the dotted line in God's name, but if I don't respect God, what is his name? There's no fear of God. And God is the authority. But yet you have dismissed his rule and dismissed his authority. So when you sign that contract with the fellow Israelites, you should have followed through with that agreement. You made an agreement and you did it in God's name. But now you're abusive. You lie about it. I didn't sign that. I didn't do that. No, that wasn't me. Swearing falsely, lying against these covenants that they have made with God. God says, not only that, these idols that you're worshiping, I'm going to turn them into thorns and thistles. It will become a place of desolation. What was busy, what was popular, what had a lot of people, had a lot of volume, had a lot of attention, God says, I am closing that house of worship down. We need to be careful. With all due respect, we need to be careful with some of these mega palaces, I'm not anti-mega church. God bless you. But when you turn God's house into a den of thieves, when you turn God's house into a place of profiteering, when you turn God's house where he's not welcome and the idol of man is celebrated, God says, I'm going to break it down to thorns and thistles. I'm going to close that house, and it's going to happen. Going to happen. So there was an abusive attitude toward agreements. Another point, Because of that, they had an appointment with anxiety and agony. They would have an appointment of anxiety and agony. Why? Verse 5. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear. There's anxiety. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven. This was the idolatrous places. And Bethaven, instead of calling Bethesda, house of God, now it's become a house of devils. So that's why Bethaven is a derogatory term for house of God. Bethaven is now turning den in a house of devils. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof shall rejoice over it, and the glory there because it's departed from them. Again, God is going to close down all places of false worship. The ultimate place we know in the apocalypse, in the end, in Revelation, we know that there would be the beast. We know that would be the false prophet. And then beast being the Antichrist. Satan will empower a man called the beast. And the beast will have someone bringing all the churches in an ecumenical spirit on the one flag, on the one banner. It won't be Baptist or Catholic or Episcopalian. It won't be all these multiple religions. That be on the one religion that be tolerated, and that's worship to the beast. And if you're paying attention, we are moving that way now, preparing the entrance for the beast and his false prophet. But God's going to shut it down, like all of them. He shut this one down, and he's going to shut down future false places of worship. In verse 6, we move quickly to an Assyrian gift, an advice that leads to shame. We have an Assyrian gift and an advice that leads to shame. Now, the Assyrian army is marching in, and King Jerob says, you know what? All those nice idols that they invested in, all that gold, all that silver, all those resources, all those nice items of that worship, of that pagan worship, I'm going to take that for my own treasure. It will be given to a pagan king. It will be given to a foreign nation, an Assyrian gift. Why? Because you listen to the advice of the world, you listen to the advice of each other, and you didn't listen to the advice of the prophets. You be carried away. And there is secular information that spells out that when the Assyrian nation, there was a nation of Assyria, and whenever they capture a nation, they have writings and markings to indicate the jewelry, to indicate the items that they got from the nation that was captured. So we have secular evidence of that. But I don't need the secular evidence. We have the word of God that tells me, God says, I'm going to go in and take all that stuff, and I'm going to use this king, the Assyrian army, will carry away all these idols. That's what King Jerob was going to do. Verse 7, we have an abolished reign, an abolished reign. In other words, there's no king. His kingship, the Israelite king, will be removed. When you see Samaria, we're talking about Israel. It's synonymous with Israel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. Stop. When's the last time you went to the beach and you saw foam come to the seashore? It's brief. It's separated. It's cut off from the rest of the body of the ocean. It's cut off. God says, I am cutting off King Israelite rule. Because you wanted that calf worship calves. You wanted that idol of calf of worshiping calves. God says, I'm taking that out. What is it, again, you heard me say before, what is it about the calf, the golden calf that the children of Israel wanted to worship in Egypt, and they still stuck on this calf thing? Well, again, it was associated with Baal, paganite deity. Another point in verse 7, God is going to, and a removal of adulterated worship. That's the other statement. And removal of adulterated worship. God is a spirit. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he will remove all worship that is not sanctioned by him. Look at verse 8. They erected all these idols in Avon. It gives you specifically the direct sin of Israel. God says it will be destroyed. Thorn and thistles shall come upon it. And they shall cry out to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. You see, that was the place of the wicked church service, the worship. The irony is this. Do you remember what God told the nation of Israel to do when they went into the promised land and they began to invade the culture, the setting, the resources, all the things of the foreign nations and these foreign nations and their worship and their idolatry? What did God tell Israel to do? For a quick reminder, hold your place here. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. God says, I'm tearing down the high places. But you didn't tear down the high places, according to verse 8 of Hosea chapter 10. Look what God said. This is what you need to do, Israel, before you get into, when you get into the land. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers give thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Okay, the directive comes from God. This is his expectation. This is what I want you to do. Verse 2, you shall utterly destroy all the places. Well, God, can I take some idols because that one looked nice and I have a sentimental connection with that one. That one doesn't look so hideous, God. Can I keep? He said, destroy all the idols. Destroy them all in all the places where the nations where you shall possess and serve their gods. Why you got to get rid of them? Because I don't want no influence in your life that's going to take you away from me. If it's a tree or a stump or a building or a location, I don't want that removing my intimacy and my fellowship with you because I know you'll be influenced. So cut it out. Application. Jesus put it this way in the book of Mark. He said, hey, you need to do some anointed amputation sometimes. You need to do some anointed amputation. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. If your hands offend you, cut them off. If your feet offend you, cut your feet, because it's better to go to heaven lame. Application. What is in your house? What is in your life? What is the idol there? Get rid of it. Because no matter how many praise songs you play on your CD or you play on the iPod or you put in your house, no matter how much you go to church here, if you're not serious and take those idols out your home and take that influence out your life, it will still control you. How many of you guys know that? That's why God says, get rid of it. Destroy it. Because the nations possess and serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and every green tree. Verse 3, and you shall overthrow, tear down those altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. I submit to you because of Israel's miserable failure in carrying out God's mandate, got them in trouble. The Lord says, okay, since I'm going to use the foreign nation to come down, Assyria, I'm going to use this nation to come down to accomplish my objective. And then in utter desperation, now that they're in trouble, now that they realize what's going on, fall upon us! Oh, let the mountain fall upon us! Why? Because they want to immediately remove themselves from the pain. You think you're going to escape judgment by trying to commit suicide? You think you're going to escape judgment because God says, well, you know, just fall upon us so I have to deal with my sin. I don't want to deal with the results of my bad decision making. I don't want to deal with the consequences. We're like that today, unfortunately. God, just can you fix this right away, God? Can you just deal with this right away? I don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want these complications, God. God, I don't. Take me out, God, I can't take it no more. We see a similar plea will be made in the future. When we talk about the time, the day of the Lord, we talk about the years of judgment, seven-year judgment. We have three events of judgments. We have the seal judgments, we have the trumpet judgments, and we have the bowl judgments. And God says in Revelation chapter 6, the wickedness of man will cry out. There's a look, fall upon us, God. May the mountains and rocks fall upon us, trying to get away from the wrath of God. God says, Assyria is coming, Israel, and you will not be able to get away from the judgment. Beth Haven, again, Beth Aven is a derogatory term for Bethel, because again, it had turned from being a house of God, it had now moved to a house of devils. What were those statements again that remind us of the spiritual condition? The prophet said, hey, let me show you something about Israel. Number one, there was an assessment of Israel's sinful state. Number two, we have an allegiance divided. Number three, an absence of leadership. Number four, an abusive attitude toward agreements. Number five, an appointment with anxiety and agony. Then we have an Assyrian gift that an advice that leads to shame. We have an abolished reign and removal of adulterated worship, which was the last point. The Bible tells us what written aforetime was written for our learning. We need to take heed that the God of Israel is still God today. Yes, we are under this wonderful covenant of blood, the New Testament. Yes, we know we have grace. Yes, we know God specifically was judging a nation. But we all have been engrafted in. And we are not dismissed the accounts in the Old Testament and say, that doesn't apply to us. That applies to the nation of Israel. We need to learn from what was written, because God says, I'm the same God. Don't get it twisted. I want absolute worship. I don't want any competition. Don't you ever, ever, ever forget that when you get your promotion and when you get your nice new house and when you get new things coming in your life and when you get blessings, who will you give the glory to? God. That's what he's called us to do, church. Let's make sure we take heed to that.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Take Account of Your Blessings. In today's program, Pastor gave us an important reminder that we cannot be divided in our worship of God. If we are divided in our loyalties and try to serve God while also serving ourselves, we will invite the judgment of God just like Israel. God desires sincere worship. We must remove anything from our lives that leads us into sin and prevents pure worship of God. To learn more about a right relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.